What is up, Fantasyland? We are back for a monster Thursday tailgate in the GOAT District. Thanks for joining us tonight. We've got one of the true GOATs, true legends in the game on with us tonight. Stick with us. We got a big one. Let's get right to it, guys.
District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's a... And I always be trading. And I always be trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them. Fish.
Welcome back to the GOAT District Fantasyland. We've got a big matchup tonight between the Bucks and the Ravens. We'll get you ready for that. We'll get you ready for the week ahead, the weekend ahead, get you ready for the rest of the seasons. And Dan, I don't think any name in the high-stakes streets garners more respect than this man. Please walk this man improper into the GOAT District.
Yeah, I think if you play high stakes, you definitely know who David Hubbard is. There's almost 100% chance you're sharing a league with him somewhere, just based on how many leagues that he has. And he has won the Football Guys Championship before, and he's won so many other leagues, so many of the super high stakes standalone leagues, 5K, 10K, you name it. Just absolutely one of the biggest grinders you'll ever find in the high stakes community. So thanks for coming on, David.
Yeah, no problem, Dan. Enjoy it.
Yeah, so let's just dive right in. We had a couple big bombshells hit today in the fantasy community. It's always fun to just kind of get that whiplash going. And Kadarius Toney headed to the Chiefs. So obviously that means the sky is falling in Kansas City. But what are your expectations, Dave, for Toney in Kansas City?
Well, there was a couple of threads going around on Twitter today, and I chimed in on one of them. I think it's a great landing spot for Toney. Toney was just done with the Giants. The coach and him didn't see eye to eye for whatever reason. I mean, Toney has some issues, but I think Toney landed in the perfect spot with Andy Reid being his coach. That's going to make a huge difference. Andy has a good way of relating to people, and I think Tony's going to flourish there. And they do a lot of improvising there, and I think that situation is just going to suit him. It might take him a couple of weeks, but I think towards the end of the year, Kadarius Toney is going to be a big factor for the Chiefs.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like, Dable was looking for somebody to make an example of, coming in, new sheriff in town, all that. And Toney got on his bad side real quick and just never got off it. So, that probably had something to do with it. I mean, we've seen the back and forth today on Twitter about, was Toney really hurt or not? The Giants saying, yeah, he was. Toney saying, hey, I've been fine for a while. A lot of weird stuff going on there. What do you think is going to happen on the Chiefs offense as Toney kind of gets his feet underneath him in that offense, Dave?
Yeah, how do you think the hierarchy falls, Dave?
I think it eventually, it might take, like I said, 2 or 3 weeks. It takes a while to learn the offense. He'll get with Mahomes, get with Andy Reid, get with the offensive coordinator. And in 3 or 4 weeks, I think he'll be a big part of the offense. I think it'll be Juju, Kelce, and Toney out there. The other guys have had their opportunity. None of them did anything with it. I think that's why the Chiefs made this move. So, I think he's going to get involved, and I think he's going to be a factor down the stretch. And if you have him in fantasy, congratulations, because you weren't getting anything out of him in the Giants. And you really can't argue with Dable. Dable's had – look at the success he's given the Giants. Toney and his way of doing things didn't jive, so the coach moved on. I don't fault Dable for that either. I think they did the right thing. Give the kid a new environment, see if he can flourish, and I think he will. I think that's the perfect – I think it's actually the perfect team for Tony to do what Tony does. So.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, I think we've seen enough sketchiness out of Tony that, you know, the floor is still zero to me, but, you know, that was all there was in New York. And now we have some legitimate upside possibilities. So
definitely,
it'll be interesting to see how it works out. Any thoughts on that, JD?
Yeah, I feel like Tony, ever since last week, week five against Dallas, 189 yards, he's kind of left, what's that saying, Dan? Left a lot to, you know me with these sayings. Come on, you know what I'm trying to say. Anyways, like he's underperformed basically,
yes.
Right? Like,
oh, yeah.
Like the expectations were high after that. I think obviously this puts him in a better spot. My only concern is it really waters down that receiving core in KC with Juju already there. I mean, I love what they're doing. I mean, why not stack the best quarterback in the league or top two or three with as many good talented weapons as possible? I think it's, like they've said, it's a good fit. I'm curious to see how all the dominoes fall in this offense.
Yeah, I think this is probably worse for
Juju.
No, I don't think Juju necessarily so much.
Or Sky?
Sky for sure. MVS, I think, could definitely see a little bit of effect. But probably Hardman and a little bit of the running backs, too. I mean, because Tony can you know, cut into both of those roles, what Hardman was doing and what the running backs are doing in the passing game. And even, you know, some of that jet, you know, sweep stuff will take away rush attempts. So, you know, I think it's going to have a little bit of effect on a lot of guys that we couldn't really count on anyway in this offense.
And the crazy thing is MVS just put up 201 yards. I mean, in two games, if you take out the middle one against Buffalo, like 90 yards and then 111 just recently. So interesting that they bring in this piece.
Yep. All right, let's move on to Cincinnati. And, you know, as it turns out, the Kadarius Toney news was just kind of the distraction, which got us away from the real hip check into the boards. Jamar Chase going to IR for really who knows how many weeks. Your thoughts on it, Dave, as far as like the injury, what do you think? Is this going to be 4 weeks, 6 weeks, or longer?
I think it's devastating for the whole Bengals team. I mean, Chase does so much for everybody on that team. He opens the field up. And it's sad, really, because I think it's probably the end of the year for Chase. He's getting a second opinion. Anytime you get a second opinion, you didn't like the first opinion. So I won't be surprised if Chase doesn't see the field again until next year and gets going again. But it helps T. Higgins, I guess. He'll be more involved. But overall, I mean, it's a huge downgrade for the Bengals' whole offense. I mean, the teams will be able to condense the field more. Chase demanded so much coverage. You had to roll safety over the top of him. Tyler Boyd doesn't do that. I mean, Tyler Boyd flourishes because of Chase. That's the problem. So, and there's no replacing him. I mean, you can't replace a player like that. He's a generational talent. He's uncoverable man-to-man. You put a man-to-man in him, he's going to beat you every single time. So it really hurts the Bengals' chances of doing anything the rest of the year, in my opinion.
Yep. JD, thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know I have Higgins, one of my most owned players. At first, as you saw in the DM, first hearing the news, kind of not excited. You never want to see anyone, especially I do have Chase shares. You don't want to see anyone injured, and it does hurt the offense. Thinking Higgins gets a bigger, you know, bigger part of the pie, but you look at the game splits, Dan, 5.6 PPR per game difference with and without Chase in the game with him. Obviously, scoring more points when Chase is involved, taking that coverage. Away. So we'll see how it plays out moving forward, see how they adjust. It's going to be interesting, but I think Dave nailed it. I think the offense as a whole obviously is hurt, and hopefully the pieces around him can still help us in fantasy, but you know, we'll see how it plays out. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I think Dave really nailed it with saying, you know, this is going to allow defenses to really compress the field on the offense a little bit more. They're just going to have a lot more trouble stretching the field. You know, I think if they go out and do anything in free agency based off of this, they want to try to find somebody who's a burner, who can, who can try to take the top off the defense, because that was one of the functions. I mean, obviously Chase did so much more than that, but that was one of the functions that helped make the rest of the offense go.
Like Will Fuller, you mean?
Brandy Cooks would be an interesting name for them, in my opinion.
Brandon Cooks.
He has the speed.
That would be sweet for all the Brandon Cooks shares we have, Dan.
That's who they should, in my eyes. That's
I love that fit. Targeting. That's a great fit.
Yeah, I think that makes some sense for sure. How about Mike Thomas, who's kind of the, you know, quote unquote replacement for Jamar Chase? Hub, you interested in him at all?
I mean, he'll have some value in fantasy, of course, but he's just not going to be a guy that's going to be anywhere close to Chase. I look at guys, I say, oh, can this guy replace 80% of what Chase does? I don't think he can replace 80% of what Chase does, maybe 50% of what Chase does. I'd be surprised if they don't go out and when Chase gets a second opinion, if they get that before the trade deadline, I'll be shocked if they don't push to get a speed receiver opposite Higgins, because they could still win then, because Higgins can beat. Higgins is a pro receiver. He's a really – we saw it during the playoffs. He's dynamic, but he needs help. I mean, look at all the good receivers that when they don't have any help on the other side, it's easy to take them away because you can just roll all the coverage over there. And now, okay, let Mike Thomas beat our other corner one-on-one. How often is he going to do it? Not often, so.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, Higgins is kind of a clasher who can also get a little bit of yak for you, you know, which is nice, but – yeah, it just helps him so much to have Chase on the other side.
Guys, drop your questions in the chat, by the way. We'll be answering all of them at the end of the show. Sorry, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes, Michael Thomas for Mike Thomas. Yeah, we're probably going to have the argument about which one's the good Mike Thomas and which one's the bad.
We definitely got to have that argument in my eyes.
So, and that's that is not a compliment to New Orleans Saint Mike Thomas. So let's move into tonight's game though, real quick. The Bucks offense just really looks broken right now. Dave, what do you think the problem is in Tampa?
We'll see if Julio looks like he might be coming back. I think that will help their offense. They just don't have. I mean, they kind of have the problem. They have Godwin and Evans, and I love Evans. Evans is a great player. And if Brady looks a little off, I don't know if Brady's family stuff got into his head. The mental game of football is overrated, in my opinion, and maybe his mind is in another place right now with his situation with his wife and his kids and all that. I think that's affected his play, whether he wants to admit it or the Bucks want to admit it. Look at everyday life. When something's going on with my kids or my wife, it affects my thought process and the way I do things. Any normal human would do that. So I think that's had an effect on his play, whether he wants to admit it or not. And he's done some stuff differently than he's done in the past. Like, you would never see Brady go to a wedding, fly his plane down to the game, skip the walkthrough. I mean, this dude showed up at every training camp for as long as he's been in the NFL. So his interest has kind of waned, I think, and I think it's had an overall effect on his team and teammates.
Yeah, you kind of wonder if he kind of thought, well, hey, if I come back, I can get, you know, Rob Gronkowski back, and, you know, those guys have been – you know, buddies from way on back, and I think it kind of took a little bit out of the game for him when Gronk didn't come back. But more to your point, you know, without a doubt, you know, one of the main things Brady's had is that legendary focus, you know, and his ability to, you know, when he's away from the field, he's still thinking about the game, he's still breaking down film, he's still, you know, just doing all those things Tom Brady does. But if his focus is distracted, you know, even if he's putting in the same amount of hours at it, it might not be as effective. So I think that's a great point.
Time catches up with all of us. So maybe, I mean, the guy, how many 45-year-olds are under center for an NFL team? I don't think I can name any. So,
I mean,
Time has a way of catching up with all of us.
Yeah. I mean, his arm still kind of looks like it's good to me, but, yeah, I mean, you know, maybe he's just not making some of the throws he used to as well. He's just sticking with what he can do.
He made a pretty good throw to Mike Evans, but
yeah. Well, and that's the thing too. I mean, there's been, you know, just there's been a lot of things that have happened this year with the Bucks where it's been just kind of that close, you know, and it just hasn't come through for him. Who in this offense is still in your circle of trust right now?
Mike Evans. I mean, I'm a Mike Evans homer from his Galveston ball days down the street from where I live. I watched the kid play high school basketball. I'm always going to be. I mean, I don't have as many Mike Evans shares as I had in the past, but I still root for the kid and really, really like him. The Rashad White kid really has a lot of juice, and maybe he would help their offense. I know they lean on Lenny, but I mean, the Rashad White kid at this point is probably, he's probably better than Lenny. So those two guys probably are the ones I would trust the most.
How about Godwin?
I mean, I like Godwin, but he come off that injury. I don't know if he has the same burst as he had. He's a solid receiver, but I don't know if he's the same guy as he was last year either. I like their young tight end. The Otten kid is really, really good, and hopefully they just stay with him and go with him. And so those three guys probably for me, the ones I really trust the most, Rashad White, Otten, and Evans.
Okay. All right. How about for you, JD?
I'm just looking at tonight's game. You got me looking at the lines. So I don't know if you looked at them. Right now it's a 2-point advantage. What is it? Ravens? Yeah. No, Tampa Bay at home, right? So they have a 2-point. You usually give it 3 points for the home team. So, I mean, I kind of like Baltimore with that spread. I was looking at Lamar's over under for rushing yards is 64.5. And if you've looked, he's only ran under 64 yards in three games, and two of them are really close or like high 50s. So I might take the over on Lamar rushing yards tonight. It's hard to trust the Tampa Bay offense right now. I mean, you know, everything Dave said, I'm not going to spend much more time because he nailed a lot of it. Just I think if Brady's not working, it's hard for this offense in general to function properly and give you what you expect from all the pieces.
Yeah, and you know, one thing I was looking at with the Bucs is they're generating a good number of fantasy points, but they're not generating the touchdowns to go with them. Which are kind of those extra points that give you the extra gravy for any given player. And also they've been kind of spread out amongst a lot of different players a little bit more than sometimes we've seen in the past. So it makes it harder to trust, I think, everybody in that offense a little bit. We had a couple questions on should I start Brady and Godwin tonight?
I like Joe's comment. Where were we? Yeah, here we go.
So Brady and Godwin, I mean, you know, I guess everything in a vacuum depends on what your options are. Mm-hmm. I don't hate Brady tonight. I don't think that, I don't think Baltimore's.
So why don't we do this, guys? Good or bad. I'll ask you and Dave really quick. Some, I guess, week 8 start sitting. Do you want Mariota or Brady, Dave?
Brady.
Dan, do you want Brady or Goff?
Brady.
Stafford?
That's close.
Stafford or Brady?
I'm gonna go
Brady.
What about Dak or Geno?
I'm gonna go Dak.
Yeah, I think I.
Their offense
Dak
is gonna
well.
Be a little different as Zeke sets, and I think they'll rely more on Dak and Pollard in more of a passing game. So I would definitely go Dak.
All right, there you have it.
All right, and then. Somebody wants to know if Otten is going to finally score tonight. That's a great question. Will he get me 20 points as a Kelsey fill-in? I'm going to go with no on that. Dave?
I like Otten a lot. So
yeah, I do too, I don't know if I like him 20 points.
Depends if it's tight end premium and if he scores. I mean, TDs are hard to predict, but the kid, they use him in the red zone. So wouldn't shock me if he got 20. Wouldn't shock me if he got 15, somewhere in that ballpark. I think he'll be heavily involved.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, I am kind of more in the 13 to 15 point range, but definitely makes sense.
Rashad White or Eno?
If Connor plays, you have to go. I would go Rashad White. We don't know that. You need more information whether Connor. If Connor's out, it's Eno easy. But Connor's practicing, and that coach is going to screw that up. Even though I think Eno's a better running back than Connor at this point in their careers, they're going to use James Connor. So. Rashid White would be, if Connor plays, Rashid White would have a higher ceiling, I think.
Yeah, for sure. Connor needs to get traded. That's what needs to happen.
Yeah, could. I mean, Eno's, I mean, he shows you he's better than, He's better than Connor for their offense. He's just a better all-around player.
Yeah, their offense looked better last week than it's looked all year.
Definitely.
You know, obviously the Saints are not the world's greatest team to play against, but, you know, and of course getting up big on them with a couple of pick sixes certainly didn't help hurt their offense at all. And then, let's see, Wayne was asking, would you start Julio tonight or would you roll with Donta against Atlanta this week?
I didn't hear it, Dan. Start who?
Here we go, on the screen. Julio tonight or Donta against Atlanta?
I would definitely roll Donta against Atlanta. I mean, Julio, yeah. I don't know. He might tap out where it looks like Chuba might not even play, so Donta's getting it all. So I think that's an easy decision.
Yep. Excuse me, guys.
Yep, same. All right, sounds good. Let's move to the Ravens real quick before we get off that game. Dave, what do you think about the Ravens offense? It's kind of transitioned back to being very run-heavy the past couple weeks. Is that more of an issue of the health of the passing game weapons, or is it more of a general philosophy change by the coaching staff to go back to what they were doing before?
We'll see tonight. I think they're going to throw the ball tonight, so we'll see. I think
Lamar's someone in the chat said that.
Passing game of the year tonight, so we'll see if I'm right or not.
Yeah, totally.
I like all their passing game pieces tonight. If looks like Andrews is going to play, you're always going to play Andrews. I ain't telling you nothing. You don't know if Andrews is active, you have to play him where you drafted him. And then I think Bateman will be involved. I think the passing game's going to be nice tonight. We'll see.
Big bounce back from Andrews. No, after the dud.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, let's hope.
And then 26th plays per game, Baltimore. Hopefully that picks up and they can score us more points.
Right, yeah. I mean, that's been a big part of it, is the Ravens have just really slowed down the pace. Dave, who on the Ravens is in your circle of trust right now?
I mean, I like what I saw from Gus the Bus. Take it with a grain of salt for this week. When he's coming off that injury, short week, I mean, you see it with teams all the time. They do it with running backs that don't have coming off an injury. So I could see that's another reason I think they're going to throw the ball tonight, because I don't think they want to overuse Gus after the number of touches he got in the past last week. So I think maybe you're going to see him throw the ball more, run with Lamar more, and maybe not pound Gus. And then 10 days from now, Gus gets the rest he needs. So on a short week, I don't really particularly like Gus this week. I like Lamar in the passing game a lot more.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I'm definitely long-term. I think Gus is, I think Harbaugh loves Gus. I think he just fits exactly what he's looking for. But for this week, coming off that short week, I definitely am sitting Gus more than I would be normally. So, curious to get your take on the Colts move at quarterback, Dave. Do you think Matt Ryan was a problem there, or is it more of an offensive line problem? What do you think was going on there to get Matt Ryan benched?
Their offensive line has regressed, and Matt Ryan's not a mobile quarterback, so I think that affected Matt Ryan's play. But Matt Ryan's another guy that Father Time's kind of caught up with. His arm's not the same. He has a shoulder problem, and I think they just want to give the Sam Effinger kid a chance. And I watched Effinger kid play at Austin Westlake. He still holds a lot of Texas high school passing records. I think he's going to be an upgrade to their offense, and I don't think it's going to affect – I think it's going to be a boom for their receivers and the running game with JT, because he can also run a little if you ever watched him play at the University of Texas. So I think Sam's a better quarterback than people realize, and I think they're going to might be surprised if they hadn't watched him play that he's going to I think he's going to improve the team, and I think the coaches know it. Just Matt Ryan cannot get away. He's fine if he can sit in the pocket, read the field. He's a pro quarterback, but if he has to move at all, forget about it. He's just going to fall. I've seen some of those memes they put out there dead on. He looks like he's getting rolled around by a big monster or something, because he cannot move and get out of the way. He has no pocket awareness anymore. But
right,
I think it's a big move for the Colts offense overall.
Yeah, it could be. How about Jonathan Taylor? He's kind of struggled to do his Jonathan Taylor things this year. Are you surprised about that?
A little bit. Two things. Their offensive line is not as good as it was in the past, but I think Jonathan Taylor will have a bigger second half of the year than he had the first half of the year. Injuries are a problem for anybody. I don't care who you are. CMC, JT, any of them. Eckler, doesn't matter. if you get banged up, you're not the same guy. But JT looks a lot better to me right now, so I think they're going to lean on him with Sam, and Sam's mobility is going to open lanes for JT, and I think JT is going to have a pretty good second half of this year. So if you own him and you're still alive, he didn't kill you, and you were able to work and keep your team in contention, I think you got a lot more hope now than you did.
Yeah, for sure.
Go buy those JT pieces.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what Ellinger can do there because, I mean, you know, I probably watch more Big 12 football than almost anybody in the state of Minnesota. I've definitely seen him. And, you know, I think and I hope that will help out JT. If JT still can't get it going, then I'm going to have to go with he's got some kind of nagging injury that he's just, you know, that's slowing him down. Whether it's the ankle or if there was something else, because I mean, even earlier in the season, he was still struggling. So hopefully getting the new quarterback definitely will help him out and get him back. I do have some JT teams that are still alive, but I mean, I am struggling to stay above water with those teams. So
yeah, I understand. You know.
let's get in there and let's get JT doing JT things. Another offense that we all thought, you know, was going to be an interesting one to figure out this year was the Packers. And they have been very frustrating, I think, for a lot of people. Other than Aaron Jones and Lazard, there's been no consistent options in this offense at all and not a lot of productivity beyond Jones and Lazard. I mean, even Aaron Rodgers doesn't really get much at all. AJD, I think we can say, has kind of become another handcuff running back right now. Dave, is that, you think that's fair to say, or you think his time is still coming?
For who, Dylan?
Dylan, yeah.
Yeah, Dylan's just a handcuff, just a guy. I mean, you can't start him. The problem with the Packers offense, they have no weapons. I mean, they have nobody to stretch the field. They're devoid, yeah. Outside of Aaron Jones, they have nobody that scares me, like nobody. If I was a defensive coordinator, I would literally just stack the box and key on Aaron Jones and put my best safety on Robert Tonyan. And just if anybody else on the offense can beat me because they don't have anybody. They have done a horrible job of constructing their roster. When you have a player like Aaron Jones, who's one of the best running backs in the NFL, he's top five in my eyes. Mm-hmm. But he has nobody to help him, like literally nobody. So they're devoid of weapons. So they're not going to be successful. I mean, Aaron Jones will have occasional game where he catches 8, 9, 10 passes because he's that good. But outside of him, they have nobody that can beat an NFL defense. Literally no one.
Yeah, this is a team that's dying for Brandon Cooks here. You know.
Honestly, Dan, the fact that they haven't been able to surround a guy like Rodgers, MVP quarterback, in this many years, clean house, man. Clean house. Get management out of there. New coaching staff. They haven't been able to do anything for him in any position on the offense. They got two solid running backs, but they barely know how to use them anymore. Like you said, A.J. Dillon went from being a really productive part of the offense to just a regular backup now.
Yeah, no doubt. I would fire their coach. I would have fired their coach at halftime of the last game, but that's just me.
Yeah, I can't argue with it. But that front office has been a problem for a while. They just, you know, when you've got somebody like Aaron Rodgers, you need to put some talent around him. You know,
Rodgers knew this. I'm surprised he came back because he knew. I mean, he's not a dummy. He saw the problems with the team. But they never did anything to address it. I mean, it's crazy that they're going to go into a season with Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard. I mean, Lazard's a good complimentary player, but he's just not a wide receiver that can beat him. Look at every other NFL team has somebody on their team that scares you. Like, this guy can beat us. I mean, the Packers have nobody but the running back, and it's easy for defensive coordinators to limit the running back from beating you in the game if you don't have any weapons on the outside to stress the field some.
Yep, for sure. All right, let's move quickly into the Raiders. This is another offense. It's not really gone according to what we thought it might go to start the season. It's been Josh Jacobs, Davante Adams, and not much else. Why do you think that is? I mean, we thought McDaniels was going to favor a pass-catching tight end or a good slot receiver, maybe both, and we haven't seen that yet. What do you think is going on with this offense?
The Raiders confuse me more than any team in the NFL. I really think they're just trying to run the wheels off of Josh Jacobs because they have no intention of re-signing him. I don't think they're going to re-sign him at all, no matter what he does. But I have to give the kid credit. He's been amazing. Their offensive line must be really, really good because Jacobs is not a burner, but he makes one thing I will say about Josh Jacobs' first half of the year, what I call variance has ran in his favor. He gets a lot of 1 yard, 2 yard touchdowns on top of any other things he's done. They're also using him in the passing game, which I thought they wouldn't. So he confuses me, but I think the second half of his year might not look as good as the first half of his year is what I think is going to happen. Because when you run a running back like that and the usage he's getting is unreal, it's almost – you don't see anybody get that kind of usage in the NFL. And the variance is definitely running in his favor, but I think it's going to be a lot like the year James Robinson got people to the championship round and then nothing. So he's going to make you some regular season money, and if you had him, be grateful. But I see a downward trajectory more than I see an upward trajectory with the way they chose to use him in the first half of the year.
So Josh Jacobs, total yards this week, 108.5 rushing and receiving put together. Higher or lower?
I'll take lower. He's already popped up on the injury report. In the NFL, when you take a beating like that, he's a well-put-together guy. And he runs hard, and he has pretty good, better vision than I gave him credit for. But when you take a beating like that, eventually it's going to catch up with you. It catches up with everybody. And and it's not McDaniel's, it's not his history to use a running back like that. I look back to his days in New England, they would rotate running backs like nobody's business. So I'm not quite sure that he doesn't feel confident yet in Zamir White and I think you'll see more Zamir White later in the year. And I don't understand why he doesn't use Abdullah and the other passing down backs during the game. He's just choosing to just run Jacobs in the ground. So as long as that'll last, one week, 2 weeks from now, but sooner or later, and like I said, Jacobs already popped up on the injury report. It's a red flag for me. So I think eventually the usage that kid's getting is going to catch up with him.
What did you say the over-under was, the yardage?
108.5 rushing and receiving.
Yeah, he's averaging 105.5 right now, third in the league. And, I mean, he's got some nice numbers. If you look at his juke rate, yards per touch, 5.9, eighth in the league. So he's doing well with what he's given. But like you said, Dave, he's not going to be there next year. Hopefully he's winning himself a nice contract somewhere else next season. But, yeah, this offense is kind of odd. Dan, we have Renfro in a couple lineups, and it's like you think he's going to come, you know, give you something one game and just gives you a dud. What about Zamir?
I'm losing faith in Waller.
Waller, I lost faith a long time ago, Dan. I haven't played him. I'm not playing him. Dave's asking about Zamir. He's a guy I was thinking is a good buy right now with A, Jacobs, what he's getting. And like you said, Dave, you know, not getting a contract next year.
Sure. Yeah, definitely. If you're in Dynasty, you're into Dynasty or any of that thing, sure, he's a good stash for sure.
Yep, without a doubt. So you think there's any hope for Renfro or Waller rebounding this year, Dave?
Renfro, I'm not sure about. Waller, I think, is going to have a monster second half of the year. He's been another guy that's been injured. So I definitely wouldn't give up on Darren Waller. I'll have Darren Waller playing a lot as soon as he's back on the field. I think Waller's time is coming. So
yeah,
we'll see if I'm right.
Do you trust him this week?
I don't think he's going to play this week, Dan. I think he's still.
You don't think so?
No, I think they're going to hold him out another week. That's what I think. I think they want him 100%. So
I would prefer that they have him 100% for sure.
Yeah.
Shout out to Wayne pointing out Derek Carr's throwing the ball 1.5 times less per game than last year.
Yeah, and to be honest, Carr doesn't really surprise me at all in this offense because he's been, you know, he's been kind of more of a quarterback, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18 kind of guy. And, you know, right now he's quarterback, I don't know, like 16, 17, something like that, depending on your scoring system. So, you know, for me, Carr is who he's always been. It's just, you know, how the offensive touches are being distributed that's really thrown me for a loop.
He's a game manager. That's exactly what he is.
Right, exactly. You definitely don't want him having to air it out too much. All right, JD, you wanna hit the FFPC here real quick?
Let's give some airtime to our partners at the FFPC. This show is brought to you by friends over at myffpc.com. Guys, right now, the weekly challenge, you know, we're deeper into the season. You know that some of your leagues, as much as you got to keep grinding, because that's what true goats do, you know you're out. At least this gives you an opportunity to win weekly. You got two contests, $35, $200, up to $10,000 to win, 30 and 100 team contests, classics and slim formats, no kicker defense. Guys, jump in the fun. As the season goes on, you'll have less and less teams to manage. Hopefully you still have enough to get you the cash. But till then, myffpc.com, there's a link below. Help support the show. Help support our friends over at myffpc.com.
Yeah, definitely. So this is one thing that I was interested in talking with Dave about tonight, was just kind of getting his ideas on how he's handling the middle of the season. Dave, go ahead. Just, tell us, how roughly how many managed leagues do you have going this year?
I have over 300 plus, and like I told y'all pre-show, I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. It's a grind. I've started some new processes that I think are helping me. So on Thursday, to give you a glimpse of what I do, I mean, I average about, no joke, I average about 15 hours a day doing this. So it's a job. It's worse than when I work for a living. And I probably won't do this again to this extent, because I don't know if I'm getting older and I don't know if I can hold up to it. I got friends, Lonnie and Phil Huey, who encourage me and give me a lot of strength there. They have a piece of my teams, and they're my best friends, and that helps. But still, the grind is just too much, I start on like a new process I started this year that I think has helped. On Thursdays, I start about 7 a.m. and I go all the way to kickoff. I look at every team we have, make adjustments that I need to adjust, see how the waiver wire went, look at what I might have missed in the waiver wire, add people in to bid groups to start for Sunday's early waiver wire. And so I do that every day of the week. I'm either looking at teams or analyzing teams or working on the waiver wire or making adjustments we need to make. I also don't give up on teams, because a lot of the teams we're doing are tournament teams. So the team might be out of contention, but I might leave somebody for another team that could beat me in the shootout. So I grind the teams that are out of it. And I have a hard time giving up on a team thinking, I can make this 200 points up in 4 weeks. Something went wrong with the team. I did something wrong. I'll make it up and I'll sneak in. So I keep grinding every team, because every dollar counts. I have people that invest in me. So that means a lot to me. So I don't want to give up on anything that could make them some money and make myself some money. So yeah, the grind is endless with what I do, and I don't recommend it. And if you do anything close to volume, like I talked to Dan about pre-show, I think you should mix in confined leagues, because confined leagues, you're only trying to beat 11 people, and you can make a percentage of your money back where you're not relying on strictly winning a tournament. Because regardless of what you think, how good you think you are, or everything or whatever, the tournaments are very hard to win. You can get there with a bunch of bullets, and everything can go wrong during that 3 week stretch. One year in football guys, everybody knows what the football guys tournament is. I had 5 of the top 10 teams in the regular season, including the number one overall team, and I didn't make a penny in the shootout. And in other years, when Nelson and I were partnering, we had a main event that started the main event like 70th place, and it won the main event for $250,000. So, if you want to get to the shootout, no matter where you are in the shootout, the scores reset, you're going to be within 25 or 30 points, no matter if you're the worst team in the shootout or the best team in the shootout. And you can make 25 points up, and the whole standings can flip-flop in one week. But to manage – I hear people say, oh, man, if I could just do 200 teams, I'd have it made. No, you wouldn't. If you understood what it took to manage those teams, going from like 20 teams to 200 teams – is night and day. I mean, if you're not working at it 12 to 15 hours a day, you're probably going to get beat. I mean, the only guy that I know that manages close to the number of teams that I do is Chad, and I know the season wears him out too. I've heard him talk about it, and he's right, because he has the same mindset I do. He doesn't want to give up on any teams. He understands that he needs to grind every team, and even if the team's out, he doesn't want to let somebody get something in that league that could beat his good teams in the shootout. So it's a constant and never-ending grind. What I call it is Groundhog Day. When I start drafting in June till I finish up in December, every day is almost the same, because all I do is get up in the morning, I sit in the same chair, I have 2 iPads because the battery goes down on one, I got to move to another one, and literally, if I can go to bed at midnight, I feel good about the day. I've had many days where I don't go to bed. I just keep grinding, because – It's a job to me, and this is what I do. I want to win.
That is a level of insanity that I hope I never achieve, Dave.
I hope that for you too, Dan, because it like I told you, it's not good for you mentally or physically to manage this number of teams. I'm gonna be honest with you, because you don't want to spend. It's exhausting spending 15 hours a day doing anything. I worked for a living for 25 years, and I told myself, after you do something for 25 years as a human, you need to find something else to do, because you become jaded in that line of work. You become cynical. I see it in my life. That's why sometimes I get in trouble on Twitter, because what I've done in my previous life affects the way I think now. So it's inevitable. So anytime you do something for 25 years, whatever it is, you probably need to find something else to do. So.
And I think one thing you said that was important there, and I think back to my poker days and bankroll management, tourneys versus cash games, right? The cash games help you manage your bankroll, because taking shots at tourneys are fun, and it's like high risk, high reward type of thing. But for you to be able to maintain that bankroll, you got to play in the confined leagues, like you said. And I think that applies especially like best ball volume. The FFPC, it's easy to get kind of play the super flex. You know, now they have so many best ball tournaments on all these sites, Underdog, use the code District. And you've got all these sites now. So in order to manage, I think that's important for the audience to look at that. You know, how much percentage of your input is, or your buy-in is going into tournaments versus those confined leagues.
Sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Because my confined leagues are definitely a big part of what I do. I do more, definitely far more dollars in combined leagues than I do in the tournaments.
Tournaments, yeah.
You know, just because I do a lot of dynasty, so of course, you know, every one of those dynasty leagues is a confined league. And then, you know, I do some auction leagues. I've been, this year I got into the NFFC Super. I've got into the FFPC Varsity, you know, and some leagues like that. You know, and what I've discovered even on those leagues is that, you know, it seems a little intimidating, you know, at first to, oh, I'm going to be in this league, you know, where the entry fee is, you know, $3,000 or $2,500 or $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever. You know, but the thing is, they're bad players in every league almost. You know, not to knock the competition or everything. And there are also, you know, some teams are just going to have bad luck. You know, you're still drafting from that same pool of players that every other league is drafting from. You know, so you've still got kind of your same chances. You know, if you're comfortable and confident as a drafter, you know, there's no reason why you shouldn't step up to those leagues.
Yeah, my favorite team I drafted this year was done in a 10K, and I co-managed it with Billy Musio, who a lot of people know. And it's by far my favorite team. And it was the last draft we did of the year, and we threw everything out of the main event, all the football guys' leagues I did, and we drafted that team solely based on how we thought we could beat 11 people. And that team is amazing. I think it's the best 10K league I've ever drafted, and we had a great one last year. But this team is just different. The way we put it together, the thought process. I say it's the best job I've ever done in a confined league draft of changing my thought process. After drafting that many teams, a lot of times you get stuck in a rut. You're going to stick to the ADP. You're going to stick to where guy goes. We threw all that out the window and just drafted this team just like we thought would give it the best chance at success. And it's running away with the league in victory points. So that goes to show you. Confined leagues are a little different thought process and a little different mindset than just drafting like you do to try to win a tournament.
Yep, without a doubt. Definitely a little bit of a different process.
I think you need less luck and more skill too, I think, in a confined.
Yep. And in the 10Ks at FFPC, I will say this, there's some very sharp drafters. There's six or seven owners that are as good as it gets when you're drafting fantasy football, high stakes fantasy football. So if you win one of those, you did a good job, because they're not going to give up. They're going to grind to the end, and they know what they're doing. So, yeah, I'll feel real real fortunate if we can win one of those.
Yeah, absolutely. Any questions in the chat, JD, that we need to get to?
Yeah, let's go get through it. Lex is asking, could use y'all's help with Chase out Foreman, Henderson, Brian Robinson, Gus Edwards, Khalil Herbert. He needs two. It's PPR. He needs two this week. So Foreman, Hendo, Brian Robinson, Gus, Khalil.
It's kind of easy for me. I'm going to go Foreman and Henderson. I like Khalil. It would be Khalil if the coach wasn't a moron, but
right.
It's Foreman and Henderson for me kind of easily
yep.
this week.
Yep. Same for me, Foreman and Henderson.
19-12. I think we answered this earlier, talking about the Bengals. Burrow hurt, obviously, by Chase's injury, right, Dave?
Oh, 100% he's hurt by Chase's injury. I mean, Chase is his guy. That's his alpha dog. You don't have many of those guys walking around on the planet. So, yeah, it definitely hurts him. I think Burrow will still be decent. I didn't really draft the Bengals. I didn't love their shootout this year because I draft a lot of my drafting thought process comes to – I know people say you can't predict defenses, but I still do it as an exercise. And I just didn't love what I saw in their shootout. And so, yeah, I mean, it's going to hurt. It's definitely going to hurt us fantasy-wise.
Yeah, without a doubt. I did the same thing. I didn't do any big Bengals stacks on my tournament teams. I do have some Bengals, but not necessarily as a stack. All right.
Go ahead, Dan, on the box of chocolate.
Rank in order. Kareem Hunt, Gordon, or Michael Carter?
For the rest of the year?
For this week.
Just for this week, yeah.
Carter, yeah. Easy. I mean, I'm going Carter 100%.
Yeah.
Who's your second guy?
Who was the three? Kareem Hunt and who?
Gordon.
Gordon and Michael Carter. Kareem Hunt,
even though they might hold him out. I don't know. Gordon against Jacksonville, to flying over there. They only have two backs now. Boone's gone. So, I mean, I could see Gordon. I could flip there and go Gordon.
Yeah. I think Carter's the easy one for sure.
Yeah.
Two are Dak this week, Dave.
I like what I'm seeing from Tua. So, and I like Tua's weapons.
Up against Detroit, then Dak's playing Chicago.
Yeah, God, I don't know. Probably Tua, but this one's really close for me. Really close.
Yeah, implied Vegas points, 27, and or is it 27 and a quarter to 26? I'll take Tua. I like what we've seen. We haven't seen Dak yet. Play, yeah. You know, to make us happy yet. So when I get that, then I might.
And Dak, Tua has three or four weapons. Dak has one, if you want to be honest about beating people. So,
right.
Are you bothering with ODB?
Absolutely not.
Interesting.
Why? And my question would be why?
Hope, wishful thinking.
Everybody needs hope.
Yeah.
Hoping it's his rookie year all over again, which got me pretty far in the football guys. Getting him off waivers.
Yeah, I think his best days are behind him.
Yep.
What about what is this league where need QBs throw entities? Oh, I thought he was asking. Oh, yeah. Rodgers or Lawrence? Rest of the season.
That's not even a question for me. It's not even close.
Nope. Not even at all.
I'm going to take Lawrence.
Definitely.
I just picked up Fields in a league to play over Rodgers. So. Yeah,
Fields look pretty good. I mean, Fields has the talent, just if that coaching staff will let him. Do play action on first downs. When they run it twice up the middle and put the kid in third and 10, nobody's going to look good. But when the offensive coordinator rolls him out on first down, gives him an opportunity to do what he does good, run, he's a dynamic player. They do a horrible job of using that kid so far, but I was encouraged by what they did in New England.
Yeah, I had Fields as a number one quarterback in that class, even over Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah. I love Fields' talent.
Yeah. Same. And, you know, it will be interesting to see if he can overcome his first 2 years in the league where his coaching staff has done him no favors whatsoever. I mean, obviously, Trevor Lawrence had the same issue his first year, you know, but now he's at least getting some decent coaching. And, you know, Fields, it's slowly getting better for him. So let's hope.
Swift.
A couple questions from 1912. How about Swift rest of the schedule?
Swift is my dude. Let's pray, man. I got more Swift than I even want to admit to. And I love Swift the rest of the year. Hopefully the kid can stay on the field because he's the most dynamic player in the NFL. I'm a DeAndre Swift homer, and I got too much DeAndre Swift. So I need the kid to be on the field. So I'm rooting for him.
Yeah, same. I've got some teams that are you know, taking on water big time. Over the last few weeks, that if Swift can bail him out, they can definitely go places.
I kind of like what the coach did. He held him out to see if he could heal him up to 100% because Swift's the guy that gets whatever. I don't know why he gets banged up, but they were trying to get him to 100%. So I like Campbell's philosophy as a coach. So hopefully he's ready to go the rest of the year.
Yeah, I mean it's one of those things where I was cussing and throwing things last Sunday. I mean I already knew before Sunday he wasn't going to play, but. You know, when you get that final word, and you're like,
It kind of hurts.
Yeah, it kind of hurts. But, you know, on the other hand, you know, you cool down and then, like, yeah, you know, this could be for the best. You know, you got to take that long-term view. You know, survive another week and then see what he can give you. How about Donovan Peoples-Jones?
I'm impressed with the kid. I think he's a really good second receiver. And I think when Watson comes back, you might see him, that offense, even flourish more. I mean, talking about some weapons, Cooper still can beat anybody one-on-one. Njoku has just been an absolute beast in the middle of the field. And DPJ is better than what he gets credit for. So, yeah, I don't mind. I think he needs Watson to get back to meet, to reach his ceiling. But the kid's better than most.
three double-digit point games, Dan, from the young receiver in the last four games.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's one of those guys that I'm, you know, if somebody drops him, you know, with the bye weeks coming up here,
it's good stash.
He's got a bye in week 9 here, so, you know, and there's 6 teams on bye that week, so I'll be looking to see if he gets dropped anywhere where I can scoop him up. I have been kind of slowly scooping him up, you know, as the season's gone along here, so.
Dave, this has been a blast, man. We respect you tremendously, and we appreciate the time that you've shared with us tonight. Why don't you give us your quick thoughts on tonight's game? Which way you think it's going to go, Bucks or Ravens? Which one you like with the spread at 2?
I think it's going to be the Ravens, and I'll leave y'all with one parting thought from one of my best friends, Lonnie. She says, if you want success in fantasy football, draft Chiefs and anyone who might be a Chief in the future. So that was her 2 cents on how to be successful. So anybody out there that wants to know the secret to success, that's
it. Yeah, shout out to Lonnie and Phil. I met them in Vegas this year, and we got to spend a little time having some dinner and drinks, and they're great people. Great people.
Very nice.
Dan, what do you got on tonight's game?
I'm going Tom Brady revenge game. I think somehow the Bucs are going to get their act together. I don't know how, I don't know why, but I just feel like we might see mad Tom Brady tonight.
Possible. I'll go Ravens. I'm going to take the Ravens. Two points. I like Lamar getting Bateman and Mandrews going tonight and his feet. Guys, this has been a blast. Smash the like, smash the subscribe. Shout out to Dave. Follow Dave. Follow Dave, but check out his Twitter handle in the comments. I posted it there for you guys because I can never remember it. Dave, you're the best, man. Dan, love doing this with you. Enjoy the game, guys. We'll check you all later.
Later, Dave.
Go District, you know the Pope listens. Dynasty, our religion, for the blokes missing on all of these trades, on all of these plays, on all of these grades. By the end of the day, y'all getting played. So, what you gonna do next? Try to fill up that flex, send the homie a text. That trash offer's the best. You try to make it complex, then they text you back. Now all of a sudden, they don't make any sense. Broaden your horizons, boy. Dynasty's not for the Simons, boy. These trades not for consignment, boy. Respect your opponent, y'all some piranhas, boy. This my advice from me to you. Open up your cute little podcast queue. Search up GOAT District, my dude. Pop it in your ear, man. Y'all know what to do. It's a... And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Trading. And I always be trading. Y'all try to betray them, but first you gotta bait them. Bait them. Bait them. Fish.
Dave's a blast, man.
Yeah, without a doubt. One of the true greats in the game.